Deuteronomy chapter 25, our text tonight is found in verse 4. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 4. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Pray that thou wouldst by thy spirit instruct us from it. Grant that we might receive tonight from this portion of scripture the teaching needed for our growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I suppose many of you saw recently the survey that was made here in Grand Rapids as to whether or not religion affects conduct. The result of the survey was that religion doesn't seem to affect conduct as much as might have been expected. I was interested in one phrase in the article that biblical Christians, I was glad to see that term, that looked good to me. Biblical Christians, those who not only believe in God, but make a serious effort to let that belief affect their daily lives, are definitely in the minority. Well, I suppose we could take encouragement from that, that God's people have usually been in the minority. And we could take the instruction from this that as God's people, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, are born again by personal faith in Him, need to be concerned that the Word of God be very practical to us in our daily lives. And that it's very important that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in order that it be very evident that we belong to Him, be very evident that our desire is to be like Him. The world looks at the testimony of the Christian. And so this is important. I know when we were in Chile, many of the people in Chile had help in the home. Help in the home wasn't as expensive there as it is here. And as missionaries, usually the husband and wife were both actively engaged in evangelism, church planting, camp ministries, and so forth. And so most of the missionaries had help in the home. And there were usually many people in the neighborhood that middle class and up that were able to afford some help, at least in the home. When you sought to get help for your home in Chile, you wanted to be very careful who you got. And not only that, most of the people that had help in the home had their homes prepared in a very special way. The closets all had locks on them. The cupboards all had locks on them. The rooms all had locks on the doors. And the mistress of the house, the lady of the house, would carry a big ring of keys. And everything was locked. And when the girl who was helping in the home needed a dish, the lady of the home would come and unlock the cupboard and give her the dish. And when the person who worked in the home needed the broom, the lady of the home would go to the closet and unlock the closet door and give her a broom. That was the only way they could keep the house from walking away with itself. Well, we just weren't used to living that way. And when we would get help in the home, we would go to our believers. And amongst our believers, there were usually those who desired to make a little extra money, and they would come and work for us. And we would have some of the unsaved people from the community from time to time would, for some reason or other, would be in our homes. And they would be amazed. They said, this place is wide open. So that's the way we live. And we never missed anything. We had believers who worked for us. And so it wasn't too long before the people from the neighborhood would come to us and say, we need some help in our home. And these would be Catholics and Jews and atheists and everything. They would come to us and they say, do you know of any evangelicals? That's what they called the Bible believers down there, evangelicals. Do you know of any evangelicals that need work? We don't dare hire any of our people because our things disappear too fast. You know, that was always a blessing to us, a real testimony. And they would always want to hire evangelicals to work in the home because they could trust them. And this is the kind of testimony that God wants of his people. And so here in this portion of Scripture tonight, we find that Moses talks to Israel about financial justice. You remember in verses 1 to 3 last week, we talked about justice in the courts before the judges. Well, this week we find Moses talks to them about financial justice, justice on the farm with your animals, and then the implications of that in our financial matters as Christians. Two things that Moses talks about. First of all, related to financial justice, Moses mentions, in the first place, an honest day's wage. And he says to the Israelites, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. Now, you remember in our study of the previous section, they were told not to beat the criminal above 40 stripes, lest thy brother seem vile unto thee. In other words, don't over-punish the criminal. Punish him enough. Make sure he pays back everything that he stole or repairs all the damage that he made, or make sure that it is sufficient, but make sure that you do not overbeat him because there might be resentment then in his heart. And the purpose is to restore him so that there will be a oneness between you again, and so you don't want to build up resentment in him. And so beware of building up resentment by over-punishing. Now here in this portion, he says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. Don't build up resentment from underpaying him. The resentment from injustice by not giving him what he deserves for the work that he does. Now as the ox walks around and treads out that corn, and you have a muzzle on him, and he sees all that delicious grain going into your barn, and he doesn't get to eat any of it, he's going to start to hate you. And as he walks around, he's going to get madder and madder until you're going to have a problem on your hands. The next thing that's going to happen is that we're going to hear about the formation of the Union of Underfed Oxen. And the ox's union is going to put pressure on the farmers to get that muzzle off, because that is not fair. I really wonder if the existence of a union in a company is not really a public rebuke to that company and really a public witness that the mode of operation of that company is basically non-Christian. I enjoyed reading in the paper this week about the man who has the company in Illinois, who has an apartment complex down in Florida, another one up in Wisconsin. His employees sign up. They don't have to have a cent in their pocket. They sign up for a week, and they're taken down to Florida, and they spend a week down there, free of charge, everything provided. Come back again. They have a retreat up in Wisconsin that they can sign up for, with 9 snowmobiles. And the testimony there was that in a competitive labor market, he was not losing employees. Isn't that great? I don't know if the man's a Christian or not, but he's learned a few Christian principles. He is not muzzling the ox that's treading out the corn. And as a result, those people don't need a union. What would they want to pay union dues for? They already have it. So good. And so the first principle here of financial justice is an honest day's wage. But that's not the end of the verse. The second principle of financial justice here is when he treadeth out the corn. And so there's not only the matter of an honest day's wage, there's the matter of an honest day's work. When he treadeth out the corn, no work, no eat. And if the ox is just going to lay there with his legs crossed and dreaming about the corn, he's not going to be fed. And so there's the matter of the honest day's work as well. Moses doesn't say, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he layeth in his stall. But when he treadeth out the corn. You know, many times as we think of our financial situation, the first thing we think of is our income. Now, let's see, my financial situation, my income is... God says, no, that's not the way. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. And so God's program is, first of all, you give. And then after that, you receive. And so the first step in our financial picture is, am I faithful in giving? Then the second thing to look at is, what are my sources of income? And so the financial freedom begins with giving. It begins, first of all, with giving a fair day's work. Secondly, then, with receiving a fair day's wage. And then thirdly, with spending a fair price. But the first step is giving. And unless the ox is giving a fair day's work, then he has no right to receive a fair day's wage. Now, the problem is that the ox's union steward comes around and says to the ox, he says, now, you're going to have to slow down a little bit because there are several other oxen that need work here. If you work too hard, there won't be a job for them. And so we want you to slow down and make your job take longer so there'll be more work for more oxen. The problem is, when the ox gets to the place where he's walking so slowly that he's eaten everything he's thrashing, then the farmer begins to think that either he's going to have to find some other way to thresh his corn, or he's going to have to quit planting it all and find some other work, because there's no profit to the business. This is what happened, or was happening, to the Florida East Coast Railroad, where way back years ago, when they had to have a fireman to stoke the fire and brakemen to run back on the cars to brake the individual cars and all the extra help that they needed, they had to have 5-man crews, and those 5 men would work 8 hours going 100 miles so that the run from Jacksonville down to Miami would take 3 days. So you'd have to have 3 changeover of crews of 5 men each. It would be 15 men earning a day's wage to go that distance. Then, of course, with improvements and diesel engines and things, that train can make that trip in 2 hours. And with the different type of equipment, it only takes 2 men. But the unions tried to keep the same 15 men on that run, changing a crew of 5 men after going 100 miles. Well, that gets to be absurd. And as a result, the railroad was bankrupt. And only as they fought that kind of absurdity were they able to get back on their feet again. But this is what happens. Financial freedom starts with giving an honest day's work, not getting an honest day's pay. The first step is giving. And when we forget that, then we are on the road to financial slavery. And so when we have the situation where the employee is giving a good day's work and getting a good day's pay, then you have a happy ox. And by the way, you have a happy employer at the same time. This is God's program of financial freedom. The result then is God's blessing upon that kind of a situation. Now, as we look at that, we say, well, what's the modern day application? This particular phrase that we have in verse 4 is quoted also in the New Testament. For example, it's quoted in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Remember that word honor there also means price, double price. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so we have here in the New Testament that Paul repeats this same phrase, that there should be appropriate recompense then for services that are rendered. We have the same phrase repeated in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul also in that chapter refers back to Deuteronomy. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 9, 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And verse 14 also, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so Paul uses twice that phrase in order to encourage the believers of that day that they ought to provide monetarily for those who spend their time in the Word, in preaching the Word and teaching the Word of God. Notice the application that Paul gives to it in the end of verse 9 and verse 10. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:9, in the last part of the verse, doth God take care for oxen? In other words, is God really concerned about oxen? Is that why God told Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn? Is God concerned about oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. And so Paul says here, did God say that only because he was concerned about oxen? No, that would be the point of legalism. We have here a principle of Scripture, an Old Testament principle, and legalism would take Deuteronomy 25:4, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn, and say, well, I don't have any oxen, so what's the next verse say? And so legalism would be very content as long as he didn't have any oxen, or if he did have an ox, that he didn't put a muzzle on him. But Paul says to the Corinthians, is that all God had in mind, really? Don't you think God had something else in mind beyond that? Wasn't God also thinking about us when he said that? When God gave that principle for oxen, wasn't he also thinking about men? And Paul says, yes, he definitely was. He was also thinking about us. He had us in mind as well. Now that means that the principles of Scripture that we find here in the Old Testament have practical application for us today. There are people who would tell us, well, the Old Testament, that was for Israel, and the New Testament, that's for us today. No, the way God dealt with Israel is the way in which he deals with us today. And the commandments that God gave to Israel have basic spiritual principles behind them that are important for us today. And so we find that in these commandments in the book of Deuteronomy, for example, there are basic scripture principles. And these basic scripture principles are for today. And these basic scripture principles do not necessarily lie on the surface. You have to dig for them. They're like diamonds, like silver, like gold. And you have to search the scriptures and compare scripture with scripture to find out the principles that are for us today. And so these Old Testament commandments, as we search the principle behind them, provide us for direction in specific decisions that we have to make today, even though those decisions might be very different from the actual situation that is mentioned in Scripture. And so the man who begins his business and decides how he's going to run that business, if he wants to know how to run that business in a way that pleases the Lord, he has to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25 and read verse 4. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. And so you make sure that you give him an honest day's wage. And you make sure that he gives you an honest day's work. Because if you fail in either of these areas, you are doing him a disservice. Because these are the basic principles for financial justice. You know, it's interesting. I think God keeps his own commandments, don't you? Do you think that God would tell us something and not do it himself? I think God himself does not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. And we have here, I think, a very exciting promise for us. Because Paul refers this to those who search the Scriptures. And that means then that honest work in Scripture meditation is going to give honest reward in understanding the character and ways of God. God isn't going to let you search Scripture and not get your day's wage out of it. You put in good, serious work in searching Scripture, and God is going to give you good, serious food for your work. God is a faithful God, and he lives up to everything that he commands us to do. He commands us to do it because that's the way he is, and he wants us to be like him. And so as you go into Scripture, here's a promise for you. You never thought this was a promise for you, did you? Not to muzzle the ox when he treads out the corn? Well, next time you open your Bible and begin to study the Word and say, Lord, I pray that you'll open my eyes, that I might see in your Word the things that I need to know, that I might live for Christ and honor him. Here's another verse you can claim. Lord, as I open up your Word today, do not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Feed me from your Word as I look into it at this time. So we have God's promise here also for us. Basic principles of financial justice that are important, that God's people might be illustrations, living illustrations of the character of God and of the ways of God. So we pray. Father, we thank thee tonight for the Word of God that teaches us the ways of God. And we confess, Father, it's so easy for us to fall into the snares of the counsel of the ungodly, as well as falling into the snares of our own deceitful hearts. And we pray that you would make us to be men and women of Scripture, that we might know the Word of God and know the ways in which the Word of God applies to us, and that we might carefully be biblical Christians, those who not only know what it is to be born again by personal faith in Jesus Christ, but those who are concerned that the character of God and the ways of God be evident in our lives. Lord, we recognize that we are not sufficient for these things. We agree with James that in many ways we offend all. We praise thee that thou hast given instruction to us. Thou hast given thy Holy Spirit to indwell us, that we might, by looking into Scripture, be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And so this is our desire. We pray that you would effect this in our lives to your name's honor and glory. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.